My name is Rosie Castro. I'm 17 years old. Today is the 27th of November, 2017, and I'm speaking with Hilma Castro, who is my mother. We are recording this interview on Saipan in the Commonwealth of the Northern Mariana Islands. So, Mommy, how would you describe yourself to someone who's never met you?
Someone who's never met me, I guess I would describe myself as I'm a middle-aged mother who has lived a very full life. I can be an overbearing mother. I love people. I'm a people person. I do have a tendency to be serious, but I also have a fun side.
Okay. And how'd you describe me?
I would describe you probably first as an old soul. You've always had this maturity about you, but you're also my little girl. You have a sweetness about you, but as you've grown, I see that you also have a very serious side, very bright side, very deep side that you don't always let others see. You like to understand things, and you don't like it when things don't make sense. You really don't like it. But you are very loyal and very loving.
Okay. So, how would your classmates from high school remember you?
Ooh, high school? let's see. I guess they would remember me as being short. In my ninth grade year, some of them might remember that I had just come back from Japan, and the Japanese sense of style, at least at that time, colors didn't have to match. So I didn't quite have the American fashion sense. I dressed very much with a Japanese style, and it really stood out. I think I even still wore knee-high socks. I was the only person in high school who wore knee-high socks, but it really wasn't a thing back in the 80s. Unless you were at a private school.
Oh, they're a thing now.
I guess they would also remember me as being kind of a smarty. I was always the one in the advanced or AP classes, and they probably remember me as being on the debate team. So yeah, I think my serious nature started out even back then.
Okay. What was I like as a child?
As a child, you were so cute. Can I tell stories?
Yeah.
Okay. You were a very cute baby. You liked to smile a lot. And you weren't terribly fussy, but you really didn't like your car seat much. But I remember, one of the first things I remember about you was the first time we heard you laugh. I don't remember what it was that you were, you know, so amused by, but you were sitting down on the bed, and all of a sudden we hear the sound. It was almost like a little honk. It was like a, and we both, your dad and I, just looked at you. We didn't know what it was. It took us a minute to realize that it was a laugh, because you did it again, and then after that it kind of grew from a to a and that was your first baby laugh.
But you say I still have a baby laugh.
Yes, you just have a baby voice, but that was your first baby laugh. That was the emerging laugh. And then another thing I remember was, I think it was when I was pregnant with your brother. Somehow you found all of your Lamaze toys, your baby toys. And there was a cube with a mirror and some crackly things and handles. And there was this snaky worm, very colorful things. And you took them all to my bed. You spread out a blanket. And you laid down in the middle of the blanket and you started playing with them like you were a baby. And mind you were like already 5 years old or something like that. Yeah, it's like you just had this moment of regression. You wanted to be a baby again. And you were just so amused with yourself. You were wiggling them around, laughing. It was really cute.
I did that.
Yes, you did that. And my favorite memory of you was when you were also very young, actually younger than the bed story. You were only about 4 years old. And you had these ABC cards, you know, alphabet cards. And in your room, you know, Tita and I both walked in, and there you were, standing on your chair, facing the bed and all the stuffed animals and everything else in the room. And you were very properly teaching everything in the room the ABCs. You would say the letter, say the sound while pointing at the letter. You would say, this is a apple. And then big A, little A, because in Montessori you learn the sounds before you learn the names of the letters. And yeah, you went through the whole alphabet. It was very cute. We thought that you would want to be a teacher when you grew up. Yeah, you were a cute girl as you were growing up. And oh, another one was like when we wanted you to try doing team sports. We had you play soccer. Maybe you were 6 or 7 by this time. And I have a very vivid recollection of you skipping through the field, holding hands with another little girl. You had picked little, what are those, daisy puffs?
Dandelions?
Yeah, the dandelion seeds, you know, those round things. And you were blowing them and just la-di-da-di-da, chasing through the soccer field. Yeah, you guys had no eyes on the ball. You were just in another world altogether. You were definitely a girly girl. Soccer was not for you. And oh my gosh, how you love to wear dresses. Ever since you were so tiny, we would always let you wear these beautiful, beautiful dresses. Everybody showered you with gifts. Your Nina, your grandma, your Nana, everybody liked to buy you dresses, and we let you wear all of them, and we would take you to all sorts of gardens, and you would be toddling around in your beautiful church dresses and cute little white hats, and you're just toddling along. Yeah, and then as you grew up, you kept wearing, you know, these gorgeous dresses. Yeah, you were a girly girl. And then, oh, ballet. Oh my gosh, you were such a ham. You loved it when you were doing ballet and everybody was watching you. Actually, I remember that we had this huge mirror that was on the floor. And you would, you know, ask Tita to dress you up in your leotard, you know, your little ballet tutus and everything. And you would go in front of it and you would pose. And you would make these really cute faces and, you know, all these little ballet poses. And you just loved, you know, for a minute I thought you could have been like a little itty-bitty narcissist, but it was too cute. There was no malice or anything intended. You were just having fun. You liked to see, like, when you moved, you liked to see how it looked. And, you know, I guess maybe you doing ballet, maybe that's what gave you a bit of the grace that you have today now. But, yeah, I hope you remember some of these things because you were such a cutie pie.
I really do.
We've loved watching you grow up.
Let's see.
Is that just one question? Uh-oh.
Yeah. No, it's okay. It's good.
Okay, back to you. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
To my teenage self? I mean, as in high school, don't wear knee-high socks in high school. It doesn't look right. Or it didn't back in the 80s. I would tell myself not to be so serious. I would remind myself that my faith is more important than all of the studies that I did. Oh my gosh, you know, what was the point of having such wonderful grades, I wonder? I had such big dreams, but they were all so worldly. I never dreamed of having a family. All my dreams were so worldly. It was just about acquiring things, acquiring wealth, having a big house, fast car. I don't know if it was just growing up near D.C. I'm not sure what it was that led me to be so worldly at that time, but that was my focus then. Get good grades, get good jobs so you can have lots of toys. In retrospect, those don't compare to having a family, you know, to finding the love of your life and raising children together and having a very strong faith. When I was in high school, when I was a teenager, I didn't think of those things, but I find that those are the things that truly matter, and I wish I could let myself know that. I think things might be a bit different if I'd known that then. Known then what I know now.
Do you feel old yet?
I feel very old.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Is there anything you want to ask me that you've never asked before? And I reserve the right to not answer.
I don't think I've ever formally asked you so directly, but, sweetie, is there anybody that you're sweet on?
That's a really bad way of phrasing that.
Is there anybody that you're crushing on? Is there anybody who makes your heart go pitter-patter?
Not here.
Not here? Ooh, but there is someone.
Mm.
Have you told me about this person?
I don't know.
Are you going to introduce us?
No,
Daddy and I? Gunner?
No.
I'm sure we would scare him.
Yeah, I agree. I agree entirely. Okay. Are there any funny stories from anyone in your life that you want to tell me about?
Anyone in my life? That can be myself?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is slightly embarrassing, but it's kind of hugely funny. It wasn't funny when I was 4, but I remember this was a time, you know, I was 4 years old or so, and my family lived in Guam, and I think we were, maybe I was 5, we were getting ready to move. So I was, oh no, it was before then, yeah, I was very young. So I was on Saipan staying with my Nana, and my uncles, you know, they had a farm, and I loved animals. I loved to watch the chickens and the little baby chicks. I liked to see the goats and the cows. I even liked to look at the pigs. Sometimes I would get tangan-tangan and hold it into them so that they would eat the leaf. I wasn't scared of them. But one time when my uncles were like busy getting the pig food ready or whatever it was that they were doing, I was balancing on a low wall, and I was watching the pigs. You know, they were getting ready to you know, put, they started putting in the pig food into the trough, and you know, so I was up there balancing, you know, just kind of watching. The pigs didn't, you know, see the food yet, but as they started, you know, as they started to pour the food, you know, the slop into the trough, you know, the pigs started getting excited. They started making all their piggy noises. Squeal, squeal. Oh, food, food, feed me. Yeah, well, I guess I got a little bit distracted and I fell off the little wall, and I fell into the mud in the pig pen. The whole back of my body was just covered with mud, and I felt like I was stuck in the mud, you know, because it's mucky, mucky mud. And I just remember, you know, the pig's food was already in the trough, so they were charging. They were, like, running towards me. I was so scared. I must have been screaming. I must have sounded like the pigs. And, yeah, my uncles had to, like, jump down and shoo the pigs away and rescue me. And I remember that was my first ever, you know, true walk of shame. I had to walk back to my grandmother, to my Nana, covered in mud. She wasn't happy with me. But I remember I didn't get into trouble But I did get a good hosing off in the backyard. I don't think I visited the piggies so much after that. I stuck to the chickens and the dogs and cats.
So what is your earliest memory?
My earliest memory, I guess it's an odd one. Again, we were living in Guam. I must have only been three. I must have been three. I always remembered wanting to go to school. And when I was three, I leaned over, you know, I was in the back seat of the car. We had this bright orange Gran Torino. It was such a cool car, leather seats. And, you know, back then,
but bright orange
seat belts weren't such an important thing in those days. So I didn't have a seatbelt on. I don't remember if we were driving or if we were just like parked in, and maybe my mom and I were waiting for my dad to come because we were picking him up. But I remember I was in the back seat and I stood up and I leaned on the front seat and I looked my mom in the eye as she turned to look at what I was going to tell her. And I told her, I want to go to school. I remember that. When I was in high school, I would think to myself, why did I want to go to school? Why did I want to go so young? But I remember I really wanted to go to school, and before I knew it, I was in school. I was in nursery school. They wouldn't let me stay the full day because they thought it was too much for me, but they let me go for half day when I was three and four. I think even through kindergarten, they would only let me stay for a half day because I needed to go home and have my nap. I was a nappy girl.
Naps are good.
Yes, naps are
excellent.
You just don't
appreciate them when you're a baby. Oof. Okay. What are your hopes? Oh, wait, no. I want to hear this. What are funny stories of Uncle Gunner? Your little brother.
Of my brother. Okay. Well, you know, Morfar, you know, your grandfather Morfar, he's from Connecticut. You know, he doesn't speak Chamorro. But, you know, he knew the word mudzu, but the way that it's spelled, it looked more like mudzo or something like that.
Muyo.
Looks like muyo, but he would say mujo. I don't know why he would say mujo. But when Uncle Gunner was still a baby, somehow Nana and Morfar, and I think Morfar was the one who really loved this the most, taught baby Uncle Gunner how to make a mujo face. But they would say mujo, and then Morfar would make the face, and then Uncle Gunner would copy him, you know, so they would make these little mujo faces, and then they would start laughing, and, you know, baby Uncle Gunner, he was like, hee 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 hee. I guess that's the story that kind of, the earliest story that sticks out in my mind. I remember being very jealous of him when he was born. Oh, my. Yeah, he took all the attention away from me. I'd been an only child. For what, 5 years? Yeah. I wasn't pleased at first. And then I think that most of the stories I'm going to remember also have me in it. When we lived in Texas, we would always be outside in our backyard. You know, we had a fenced-in yard with, like, three peach trees, two other climbing trees. They were excellent, excellent climbing trees. And we had a dog named Poochie, and I remember, Uncle Gunner must have only been four or five. He was outside, and he had a hot dog on a fork. And, oh, my gosh, that Poochie was following him everywhere. It was so cute. And he got a kick out of it. He was like, oh, Poochie's following me. So he would march around the yard with the hot dog on the fork. And here's the poor dog looking up at her, hopefully, like, throw me something here. Oh, gosh, and then I remember that, skip many years down. For a while, he was my buddy. When I first went to college, I really, really missed him. So much so that I remember I drove 2 hours from UVA. I drove 2 hours to go home to pick up him and his girlfriend at the time. And I brought them back with me to UVA because there was a big football game. And, you know, oh my gosh, it was like a really big deal. And the tickets were sold out. And I actually like paid $100 to some scalper. Yes, a person who scalps tickets,
mm-hmm.
you know, buys them and then sells them for an outrageous price.
Yeah.
So I paid $100 for the tickets. And, you know, we went and we watched the football game. Hoorah, Ray. Ray, UVA. Woo-hoo. And then, you know, we went to dinner after. And then I dropped them back home and spent the weekend at home. And then I remember for the time when my cousin, your Uncle Bill, lived with us. You know, again, I was at college, and I had an internship during the summer, and I had my own apartment in Maryland, so I picked them up, and we drove into D.C., and, you know, we went to the Smithsonian Museums together. Oh, my gosh. Oh, okay, now I have a story. Sorry. Those were fun times. I do remember when we lived in Japan. He was in elementary school. I was in middle school, and I was kind of supposed to babysit him, you know, just for a short time. And he was hungry, so we decided to concoct something. It was like in a glass, and it had milk and peanut butter and jelly and I don't know what kind of stuff we put into it, but he drank it. I kind of dared him to drink it, and he drank it, and he threw up. And guess who got in trouble for that? Why? Why did I get in trouble for that? And, you know, my poor brother, he didn't learn. That time when he visited me in Maryland with Uncle Bill, we went to a restaurant called Friendly's, and they're known for their ice cream. And so we had ice cream sundaes, and these things aren't small. And I don't know why, but, again, he got dared to finish his sundae. And he finished it, poor guy. And yeah, at 3 o'clock in the morning, we were out driving around looking for Pepto because he was sick again. Like, I think my brother now would never accept any dare that is revolving around food, not if it comes from me. I didn't mean any harm. I didn't know he would get sick. I just wanted to see if he would actually finish the food. And he never said it was gross. He seemed to think it was good stuff, good ice cream and good peanut butter and jelly milkshake. It just didn't agree with his tummy, is all.
Okay. How did you choose my name?
Oh, my gosh, the name choosing. It was such a long and painful, painstaking process. It involved going through many baby name books, many, many, many online websites about baby names. Your name had to start with a V. Your dad insisted upon it, and I didn't want it to be something that, you know, I used to hear all the time, like Victoria or Veronica. You know, I wanted it to be something different. And when we found Vivica with the spelling that is your name, we both really liked it. It just seemed to fit. And then Rosa was my grandmother, and it just fit well together. Vivica Rose. Yeah, I would sing you a little song about your name when you were little. I'm not going to sing it for you now, though. Another time.
Okay. How did you get Gunnar's name? I mean, that's an obvious
family name. Yeah. Morfar's name is John Gunner. Uncle Gunner's name is John Gunner. So Gunner's name is, of course, Vincent Gunner, because we had to have a, you know, he had to be named after Daddy, had to have a V name, but he got to keep the Gunner from my side.
Does that mean I have to name my son Vincent Gunner if I have to?
No, you can name your son or daughter whatever you like, but yeah, it's from my Scandinavian roots.
Did you have a nickname?
Yes. When I was in elementary school, I don't know, Hilma somehow turned into Hilmi. It was more sing-songy, I suppose. So Hilmi this, Hilmi that. Tell me, let's go jump rope. When I was in college, yeah, when I was first in college at UVA, they nicknamed me Gizmo, or Gizzy, after the Mogwai Gizmo from the movie Gremlins. And the reason they called me Gizmo is I could be so sweet and docile, you know, 1 minute, and then all of a sudden I could turn impish and gremlin-like the next. So, yeah. Gizzy.
Is that where I get it from?
I'm not telling.
Okay, then. But in my head, I'm going to blame you. What are your hopes and wishes for me?
I would like you to grow up, of course, to be happy. But more than anything, I want you to be grounded in your faith. Because as I learned, you know, in my life, all the education and all the money and possessions in the world aren't going to make you happy. And when you run into troubles, as everyone does in life, you know, no life is a path of roses forever. You know, there's always going to be challenges. And all that money and all of the education, it's not going to save you. It's not going to make you happy in these hard times. But faith in God will, knowing that God is always there with his hand over you to protect you and to guide you, it'll get you through those hard times. And that's what I want for you. I want you to be happy and strong in faith.
Mm-hmm. I have kids. What advice would you give me about raising them? So they don't give me as much of a headache as I give you.
Oh, you just always need to remember when you were born, Father Gary Bradley came to the hospital and visited me, and he asked, you know, how I was feeling, and you know, I was still in awe. You know, I just delivered in the morning, and he came in what, maybe 6-7 hours later, and I was in awe. You know, it's like, wow, this tiny baby, she's such a miracle. You know, how is it possible that such a miracle can exist? And he saw that was truly how I felt, and he looked me in the eye and he said, you know, hold on to that feeling. Don't ever forget that feeling. And that was probably the best advice that he could have given, because I didn't know it at the time, but it's not always easy to raise children. And when it's the hardest is when you need to realize and remember what a miracle your child is, you know, what a gift from God your child is. And not focus on, you know, the little naughty things that they do or the headaches that they might give you, because truly they are miracles. And everything that you go through with them is a gift, easy or hard.
If you could do it over, would you raise me differently?
That's a hard question. I think I would. You were my first child, and after I delivered, you know, I was getting ready to go back to work, and I had reservations. You know, I didn't want to leave you. We already had, you know, Tita, who just started with us after you were born, and you know, Nana and Morpha were there helping out too, and I had this urge to stay with you. You know, I didn't want to go back to work, and you know, I even thought about just stopping work so that I could, you know, be at home with you. But you know, Nana said, I don't think that you'll be happy staying at home. And then she said that, you know, she would help, you know, train Tita to, you know, do things, you know, the way that we're used to, you know, how to do things to take care of you in the house, you know, just the way that we're accustomed to, I guess, the way I was raised. And so I said, okay. And I went off to work. And in retrospect, I wish that I had been there more. Yes, you were my little duckling. I took you and Tita everywhere with me, after work. We did a lot of stuff. You know, I'd pick you up. We'd go to the beach. We'd go to La Fiesta. We would go hiking in the boonies together, the three of us. You were my little duckling. I'd take you everywhere. But, you know, I wish that I had spent more time with you. You know, not just, you know, the after work time where I might be tired. So, I think that's what I would have done differently. I would have been home more with you.
Are you proud of me?
Very much so. I know that they say you're never supposed to have expectations, but I guess I've just seen you grow from this little precocious little girl into, you know, the mature, thoughtful, sensitive young woman that you are today. You're bright, you're witty, and you have this love in you that is so loyal. And you're very trustworthy. I'm very, very proud of you. And I guess I'm glad I have you with me and home at home, you know, for at least, you know, this year, a couple years, I hope, before you decide to really, you know, fledge from the nest.
How has your life been different than what you imagined?
Oh, well, when I was in high school, I guess I never imagined that I would be living my adult life on Saipan, you know, a little island in the middle of the Pacific. You know, this was the place I would come to for vacation. I guess I always thought that I'd, like, live in a big city like Washington, D.C., and, live the rat race life that I saw the people there. Of course, when I was there, it seemed exciting, but when I look at what I have now and think about what it would have been if I'd stay there, I'm so glad that I didn't stay there and just be, you know, changed to a job. It's different from what I expected, but I'm happy that it is what it is.
If you could do anything now, like in terms of work, what would you do?
In terms of work, if I could do anything, money no object, I would, you know, want to go on some sort of, if Daddy and I didn't have to work, I'd love for us to go see the world and help people in need, help bring faith to other people, help. I remember one time in college, I was part of a project, you know, it's just a weekend project to raise a house. It was the Charlottesville Home Improvement Project, and it was to build houses for people in need. I would love to go and help the people most in need and, you know, of course, spread faith at the same time. Yeah.
Okay, last question. How would you like to be remembered?
I would like to be remembered as someone who tried to live her faith in her life and who loved with all her heart, most especially her family, and who cared and tried to make a difference whenever she could, a difference for, you know, the better. I guess that's it.
Thank you, Mommy.
Oh, thank you, sweetie.